Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Sherwood Forest in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am the aforementioned Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. No Jared Yamamoto today. He'll be back tomorrow. But we do have Man of a Thousand Voices, Tim Andrews. Queen of the Invisible Box, Autumn Fisher, is here. And filling in for Jared Yamamoto, our friend English Nick.
Yeah, as best I can.
Oh, as best. Your best.
Big shoes.
It's pretty darn good. English Nick, thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
I want to say before we get to headlines, the two of you with your little talk, you're talking amongst yourselves over there before we went on the air, Tim and English Nick, and I feel completely left out because you're talking about this show.
Sharp Object.
Sharper Things.
Sharp Object.
Stranger Objects.
Stranger Objects.
What is? I feel completely left out.
Big Little Objects.
Yes, Big Little Objects.
Yeah.
I feel completely left out.
Great show.
And then you guys start doing the thing where, and that ending, and when she went like, as if I have... You never know.
I know you're never going to watch it.
If you haven't seen that, I feel bad.
You haven't even watched The Sopranos ever, so.
Well, I'm going to get to it.
Sure you are.
And this is on the queue.
Right after Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad.
Don't ruin the ending. I want to watch Stranger Objects.
In 2028, you can have the conversation about seeing the ending of Sharp Objects.
I will watch Sharper Things. Let's do this.
Headlines for Monday, August 27th.
Sharper Images.
Yes. You know, I hate the fact that store's not around anymore. Apparently, I was the only one who ever shopped there. Sharper Image.
You actually purchased things?
Oh,
I've never purchased anything.
I purchased all kinds of little clocks and the
$300 salt shaker.
Electronic massage pillow.
A salt shaker that shakes itself.
The waterfall.
Yes.
The waterfall that puts you to sleep. Mm-hmm. I had that for quite some time. Give me some news.
All right, this is out of Jacksonville, Florida yesterday. Two people shot dead by video gamer David Katz, who then killed himself.
Yeah, this news broke. I was watching TV at the time, and I mean, there's so many questions here.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, why does this guy have a gun? He's obviously nuts. This horrible photo. I don't know if it was the kid that was actually is that the kid who was shot that has the laser thing pointed
on
him?
Yeah, the kid on the right with the headphones on. Yeah, yeah.
I can't understand how no one around this kid saw, if he had long enough to point the laser, that's a little different than just opening up in a room, you know? If he had long enough to point at that laser, I don't understand.
Well, it's a still shot of the video, so it would have been a split second, maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
everybody's
playing video games, they have headphones on, yeah. There's chaos.
And the security I'm wondering about. You know, we really have to come to terms with the fact that getting into any place we want to go needs to be a bit of a pain these days.
Kind of like the airport.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked sometimes when I get into – I don't want anybody to say the name because I don't want to – I just recently went to a rock festival type of thing. I just walked right in. I mean, they didn't even pat me down.
Wow.
And I thought – and this is after Vegas and – you know, this is a small place. You'd think it would be difficult to get a handgun in there in the kind of situation they were in. I mean, we really have to harden these places. Now, I know that the odds are nothing's going to happen, and those are the odds that are played by security. But and then I almost feel weird playing this audio. But Tim Andrews, we're pretty sure this is – so there are commentators on – this is Madden 19, but esports is becoming quite big. Sometimes on ESPN, you see coverage of these esports events. I don't know where this is from, but it's have commentators.
This is a previous Madden event where people are getting together to play.
When you think about, well, we didn't know, the commentators are commentating about this guy, Katz, at a previous thing and basically saying, keep your eye on this guy because he's weird. I mean, it's – basically,
you are not going to see much emotion from our guy, Brett. This dude is a man David Katz keeps to himself. He's a man of business. He's not here for the experience and to go out, this, that, and the third. He's not here to make friends. He's all business. He's focused. And to even get him to open up to talk to you about anything, it's like pulling teeth, man.
So I would imagine he was one of these guys that everyone else was sort of like, I don't know. Maybe he's just into it.
Well, he's known as Bread and some other names. It was on Twitch. So there has to be tons of video of him out there somewhere.
Sure.
Archived video.
And to think in these situations, this guy, I mean, obviously he was mental, but you're mad because you lost a game? There is so much mental illness out there right now that it's hard to put your mind around. But the only thing I can think in terms of, well, what's actionable here? What can be done to make sure this doesn't happen again? We just all have to come to, or whenever these events are happening, any kind of events, you don't let anybody in until everybody's patted down. I hate to say that, but we've had enough examples of this sort of thing. And when there's a competition going on, I guess you could also throw in that people could get heated and angry. It just seems nonsensical that somebody would kill because they lost a game.
The picture they posted on the article, he looks completely insane.
Yeah, but that's after he is.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? After you have the knowledge, then you can see it.
Right, because all what the commentators were saying about him being focused could just be,
yeah.
I mean, that's a good thing. Wow,
yeah.
He's really focused.
Yeah, he's not here to make friends.
And
right. In one way, that sounds like, oh, he's, but on the other way, it's like, well, maybe the guy just doesn't make friends.
Sure.
You know, it's just, I don't think, I'm always at a loss with these stories because my job is to come on and say, well, what we need to do is this, that, or the other. But these situations, I don't know how to make this go away. And I know there are people who think more gun control would do it. I don't believe that's true. And there are people that think more legislation. I think that all we can do is try to harden some of these places. And if you're going to have an event, if you're putting on an event and you're having people come in from all over, it's just going to have to be difficult to get in the door. And then once you're in and you've got the wristband, you can move around freely.
Well, isn't that the least you can do?
Well, I would think.
Right?
Well,
I mean,
I would think.
There could be a lot of talk about mental health issues in the country and how we treat and how easily it's, you know, treated on someone else who doesn't want the treatment, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But then the very least you can do.
Yeah.
It's just make sure no one's coming in with anything.
Well, you do the best you can. That's the problem. It's like George W. Bush used to say about terrorists. You know, we have to be right 100% of the time. They only have to be right once.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people in this country.
It was a pretty public area too, right?
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of events.
Yeah.
What
Shops
I would hate to do, what I don't want to do is just to throw in the towel and say, well, this is like, we just have to accept the fact that like hurricanes and tornadoes, that these tragedies are just going to happen. It just doesn't feel American to me to throw your hands up and say there isn't an answer.
Well, think about this coming weekend, Labor Day weekend in Atlanta. You have one of the biggest events going on in the country, Dragon Con. And then on top of that, downtown, you have the Chick-fil-A game and all that.
Just it's just
imagine,
so much
of
all the people. And also when you throw on top of it that most things are going to come out all right most of the time, which leads to a little bit of lackadaisical attitude around things. It's very hard. On one hand, I want to say, why was the gun in there? On the other hand, you know, I don't want to blame security there either. It's really, really tough. I understand when people say, you know, we have to do more about mental illness in this country, but are you ever really going to be in a situation where you get everybody? I don't think every single person with mental issues is going to be taken care of properly. I don't think you're ever going to get to a world where that actually happens.
Not everywhere we go in the world can be a secure
right.
lockdown place.
Well, then I worry about having that attitude. You know,
right.
what I mean? There's no good at it. There seems to be no real answers.
Think about
this.
Your local grocery store. There's one security guard usually at the door,
right.
hanging out on his cell phone, whatever.
Yeah.
Anybody could walk into a grocery store.
Yeah. You could walk into almost anywhere, I guess. It's more about the intent of the person. I don't know how you harden all this stuff. It's like the stories about, you know, now a lot of places, a lot of schools, they have a gun in the school. I don't know if that's going to work or not. I think, I'll tell you what, one single time the wrong person gets shot in a school, if that were to happen,
they'd be taken out of every school the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily by force of law, but by force of parents. These are very difficult issues. I was really worried at first because it said mass, and I thought, oh no, it's, you know, two is horrible enough. But I thought, not another. In Florida, you know, Florida had the Pulse thing, had the Pulse nightclub. That was 50 some odd people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Florida.
Yeah.
Orlando is in Florida.
Yeah.
Parkland, 17. There was another shooting there, I think. I mean, I'm losing track with Florida. I wish that I could say, hey, I got the answers. I've got a radio show. I can come on here and tell you exactly what we need to do. And a lot of other people may pretend. People who have microphones in front of them today may pretend, but they are charlatans. Nobody has the answer. And people need to, on all sides, the gun control people, the mental health people, everybody needs to stop acting as if they've got the answer for everything. Because I don't know how you get every single disturbed person and take care of them before they get there. At the same time, we have the Second Amendment in this country, and you're not going to get around that. That's just not going to happen. And then on the third, here I am not wanting to give in to this idea that, well, maybe we just have to accept the fact that these things are going to happen. You can't even say from time to time, multiple times a year. I mean, it's a real – I don't know if you put together a Manhattan Project full of people with the smartest people. And the weird thing is that crime, violent crime overall is going down in this country. But these sort of things seem to be happening more and more. I'm supposed to have the answers as your radio host. That's my job. But I've let you down today. I don't know. I don't know how to make this stop. I don't know how to make this go away. Another story, English Nick, please.
All right, Senator John McCain, who died on Saturday at age 81, will lie in state at the state capitol.
The federal capitol, Washington, D.C.
Oh, got you. Okay.
I don't think he'd be lying in state here in Atlanta. That would make a lot of sense.
Gotcha.
But he's going to lie in state in Capitol Rotunda.
Yes.
And also, I think, in Arizona as well. You know, watching all of the media coverage is really something. I know a lot of Republicans respected McCain as a war hero, but maybe not so much for the policy choices that he made as a politician. And I can understand that. But the press, you know, the press was so two-faced with this guy. Now, this is what happens. Every Republican that runs for president, as far as the press is concerned, turns out to be a really good guy after they lose. But during the campaign, they're, you know, a threat to women and all this. Now, John McCain, he was the only one I can remember who was loved by the press before he ran for president and after he lost, but not while he was running for president. Because, of course, you know, every Republican is put up as being a danger to women's rights and, you know, doesn't care and they're cold-hearted. And they threw John McCain in that same way, especially when Obama came along. McCain had a great story about being a prisoner of war. He was given the opportunity to go home. He said no because there were prisoners in front of him that needed to go first. And, you know, you'd think that would get you elected president, but at the time he ran into a buzzsaw.
I was a community organizer.
He was a community organizer. So that kind of got rid of all the heroics.
That's
apparently
how I served my country.
So, and the press fell in love with Obama, obviously. And but McCain, as far as I know, is the only, like Mitt Romney, he was a danger to women because he flubbed a line about binders. Because he flubbed a line. He was trying to say before I fulfilled my cabinet in Massachusetts, I made sure that they brought me resumes of qualified women so we could have women in the cabinet. He flubbed a line about binders full of women, and that was held against him. But with John McCain, the only one I could remember who the press loved before he ran for president and after he lost, but like with every Republican, he's a danger while he's running for president. As I said, Jared Yamamoto is out. We have English Nick in. I didn't want to overwhelm him with stories, so I threw in a segment that we all love that is led by me. Of course, that segment that we all love and we all look forward to is...
this is interesting!
Yay!
This is where I find stories that I find interesting.
Hmm. That guy's very happy.
He is.
Hmm. This is interesting.
Jared missed his calling. He was born out of time because obviously he should have been part of the cast of Laugh-In.
Saga to me.
So these are just stories that I find. Now, one, The Onion, satirical, used to be newspaper, now online.
Uh-huh.
Great fake news outlet. They were fake news before there was fake news.
Yeah, but you knew it was fake.
Well, of course. They weren't trying to pretend that they were real. This is the good kind of fake news. Usually, and I'm a fan of The Onion. They do great work, but I think just really hit the wrong note here. The Onion mocks Meghan McCain as her father ceases treatment. Now this is the so right after this is before John McCain died. This was after they put out the notice that said we're going to stop trying to treat this and let it play out. And we didn't. At that point, I thought it would be 3 or 4 days or a week. We didn't realize it was going to be so fast that he died. So this was right after, so 1 day before he dies. And the headline is, Meghan McCain forced to live out socialist nightmare of empathy for sick person. This is because, now, even the funniest people in this country are almost all on the left. And they suffer from this nonsense idea that the reason that conservatives opposed Obamacare or a government-run health care, well, it's because they don't care about poor people. They just don't care about poor people. So that's where the premise of this idea comes from. This Meghan McCain, who has to suffer through the idea of being like a socialist, caring about a sick person. Because the reason Republicans didn't like Obamacare, as you know, is because they don't care about sick people. Here's the thing about Republicans. No one in their family ever gets sick or gets diagnosed with cancer or has anything go wrong. Car accidents, no Republicans ever die in them. Life itself, the tragedies of life itself, never touch Republicans, of course, because they're rich. They're all rich. And so they never have to deal with tragedy. The Democrats and the all-powerful government are here to protect the little people. The Republicans aren't the little people. They're the big people. Therefore, they don't care about the little people. And we can, in a cartoonish way, say the only reason they're against Obamacare was because they don't care at all. Obama does. It's right there in the name. Obamacare. It should be called Democrat care because we all know Democrats care and Republicans don't. This annoys me to no end. The Onion, I don't care. They're satirical. Who cares what they do? But it does hit on this silly idea that the reason Republicans believe the things they believe is because they simply do not care. And I would say I'm a libertarian, conservative when it comes to the economy. And I tell people something they never hear. I'm a capitalist because I care about poor people. I'm a capitalist because I've looked at the history of the world and all the different systems of economics and have come to the very easy conclusion, once you remove emotion, that no system has brought more people from where they were to where they are than capitalism. Is it perfect? No. Why? Because there is no perfect economy that gets everybody over the finish line. And by the way, there were poor people 250 some odd years ago. Can you believe that, English Nick? That was before we revolted against your king. Can you believe that there were actually poor people in the world before the founding of the United States of America? Can you believe it's possible we didn't invent poor people?
Unbelievable.
It's hard to believe, yet true. So the reason you get a headline like this, even in satire, is because people on the left believe that if you're against an all-powerful government, you must hate poor people. That has to be what it's about. It's a simple, cartoonish view of the world. And if we actually had a thriving press, it's a premise that would have been challenged much more than it is. But as it is, it's only challenged on the right by the people who already believe in capitalism. And you know what's really going on there. If you're a leftist, it's just rich people protecting rich people, and they never get sick.
The poor did really well under Stalin, by the way.
Oh yeah. Look at the poor in Venezuela right now, doing the socialist miracle that is going on there. But thankfully,
I'm sure somehow it's our fault.
I'm sure that you're sure of that, my dear millennial.
We did something to them, and then they couldn't set up their socialist government, whatever, the right way.
They weren't allowed to let it work.
Exactly. And if you just believe in it, then it's going to happen. They don't have dream boards and stuff. It's ridiculous over there.
Let me ask
you,
my millennial friend.
Yeah.
Do you feel that there were no problems in the world before the United States of America was founded? We just created all these problems.
Well, I mean, think about it.
Was everybody happy?
I mean, just think about it.
That's what I'm asking you to do, to think about it.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Think about it. We really exacerbated a lot of these things.
Did she say that on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It means making things more or whatever. He doesn't know.
We exacerbated all the things that were already there, but then they got worse. But it may seem simple, it may seem comic the way we present it here, but this is really the thinking. If you got these people's heads, I think that they would think that, yes, there were no problems on the planet before the United States of America. We invented this stuff. Here's something that's really – I want you guys to follow me on this because you're going to think, oh, it's a racing story. It's not a racing story, although it does have to do with racing. So there's a guy named Connor Daly. He and his family is big in the Indy racing world, and he's kind of trying to make the transition over to stock cars with the Xfinity thing. And this guy, Derek Daly, his father, is a legend in Indy cars. So this Connor Daly, I believe, has diabetes, and that's why the sponsorship is Lilly, because they're pharmaceutical. And so they always do this. They find drivers who have diabetes themselves or in their family to run the sponsorship on their cars. So this guy was in an Xfinity race and sponsored by Lilly, and they had the transition going to go over to NASCAR with this sponsorship. And they found out that his father, Derek Daly, said the N-word in the 80s before Connor was born, and they yanked the sponsorship off of Connor Daly's car. The son, they didn't want to be involved in the controversy because dad, before the kid was born, I believe in the early 90s, in the 80s, his dad said the N-word, and the son was stripped of his sponsorship. And this is what I want to say to the people at Lilly, to everyone. This is what you need to know. You can do whatever you want. You're a private company. But I'm going to tell you this. What you just did is absolutely flat un-American. One of the things that separates America from the history of mankind is that we do not hold the son responsible for the crimes of the father. In tribal societies since the beginning of the world, the day you were born with the debt of your father on your back with his enemies. For most of mankind, and still to this day in parts of the world, wars that are thousands of years old started out as disagreements between two tribes, two clans, one father, another father, a grandfather. And when you're born into your clan, you pick up that fight. One of the great things about America is that America broke away from that. They said, you are not your last name. Even jumping from Europe at the time. Your last name was Rich. You're rich the day you're born to the day you die. Your last name is poor. You're poor from the day you're born to the day you die. Part of getting out of that and starting this great new country was to say, your life belongs to you. You are an individual. You'll create alliances. You'll have friends. You'll have families. But you are an individual and will be treated as such. That's the beauty, some of the great stuff that made this country great. I mean before Trump. I don't mean the political sloganeering.
It's great now.
But it's a big deal. And now you get to the point where somebody finds something out and they get ahead of social media before social media even finds out about it. They decide because the father said the N-word in the 80s We can't have our sponsorship near. What about cousins? First cousins? No, the whole clan. Get it? The whole tribe must be held responsible for something that the chieftain said in the 80s. Lily, you're a private corporation. You have the right to do whatever you want. But this I know. What you just did to Connor Daly is 100% un-American. Did I get my point across there?
I think so.
I don't want to hedge anything. I want people to know where I'm coming from on that one.
I have a point. No one would have known about this story if I had not brought it up.
Well, you know probably. Saying, like, I think they probably. Do you really think in the days of social media? I mean, what would happen is a small group of people who follow Indy would know it first, and then it would get out there, and it would lay out there until the first social justice warrior got a hold of it, and a person who knows nothing about any of these people or what they do for a living would have seized upon it, and then at that point, it would have gotten to the social justice thing, and Lily was like, hey, we know we're going to give in the end. Let's just start giving in before the whole thing gets going. I mean, it's unconscionable. The kid was not born yet.
91 he was born.
Yeah, he's held to the standard of what his father did in the 80s. It's quite, I mean, to me, it's outrageous. It's un-American. It's not the kind of thing that's going to get a lot of play because, as far as I can tell, there was no bullying involved. If you really want to get a lot of play and your last name isn't Trump and you want to get the news, there needs to be some bullying involved somewhere. And I don't think there's any bullying involved here. Just rank un-Americanism, which is not newsworthy to most outlets. Here's another one. Here's another one.
I feel this like
Jay Leno.
Here's another one. Yeah. Hey, can you believe this?
Kevin,
you see this? Kevin, you see this? What are they talking about? Lily.
Did you know Burning Man starts this week?
Yeah, bro.
Of course I did.
Totally going. I'm there. I mean, whatever.
Is this Rebecca?
It's Rebecca.
What is
it's
Burning
me.
Man? Burning Man started out as kind of a cool, what would you call it? Sort of
artist?
Artists, colony.
A naked free-for-all
freak
in the desert.
Out?
I'm not looking. Yeah. It was a way to lose your head, right?
Yes.
Lose your head for a weekend. You were given the space to do it. Feed your head. Lose your head. New Year's Eve for an entire week or two or however long this lasts.
And they burn an effigy of a man?
At the end.
All right.
They burn the big thing. The tower's there from the beginning at the center, and at the end you burn it. And but here's the thing. Burning Man has basically been over for years now because once it turned into a thing,
Chipotle
is Burning Man.
I hate to do that corporations thing, but I mean, I don't know that there's an Eli Lilly tent. But yeah, certainly an awful lot of rich people started going and they have catered affairs and. But the one thing about it is there's still a lot of hippies and there's a lot of nudity. So, and when you put youth and nudity together, a lot of times you end up in sex. And so this is the first Burning Man in the Me Too era. So now they're having to put everywhere these warnings, these things that say sexual consent is sexy, things like this. If you have to tell somebody that they need consent... Aren't you already, you're losing the race at that point, are you not? More on that when we return. Yeah, the point I'm making about Burning Man. So what they want you to know is that at the Orgy Dome, you must have consent.
The Orgy Dome.
There's an Orgy Dome. It's hard there because they want to adhere to all the Me Too stuff. But you know, guys... How many guys go to Burning Man just because – I know it's all – like someone like Autumn who never understands this. Oh, people are free. And I'm like, Autumn.
I understand everything.
No, guys are there for one reason, because people are free. And that means you sneak a peek.
Yeah. Sometimes women are free, too.
Well, that's fine. So I'm saying is that the guys –
sneak a peek at
– they hadn't ought to be.
The guys are – for the most part, women are not as predatory as men are. And I don't care how men wrap themselves up, freedom, love, hippie, let it all hang out. They're all looking for one thing, especially if they're in their 20s. And so they just love that, oh, my God, that's the Orgy Dome. And nothing is better than naive women who think that, we're just, you know.
Look at my glitter pasties.
Yes.
Oh, baby, it's an experience.
So, of course, they're treating these supposed adults like children, right? So when you go to the orgy dome, you see messages like, consent is sexy. And however you dress, wherever you go, yes means yes, and no means no. When you're rhyming things...
Ooh, that's like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, when you're... Yeah, a Dr. Seuss is for what? Children. When you're rhyming things, you're admitting that you are dealing with idiots. So, I understand it may be a little difficult this year at Burning Man. Now we have to tell people that the orgy dome... The orgy dome.
It sounds like they're going to fight.
Yeah,
the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Two men enter. One leaves sore.
They're going to fight. Yeah, kind in of the nude.
There will be a crossing of swords of sorts.
Yes, there will.
Yes.
There's going to be some fencing in the orgy dome.
On God.
Here's the thing. I have a friend who was like a super duper hippie in the 60s. You know, lived on a commune and all that. And she told me that most of the guys who were in it for the same reason the guys are always into. Just like now with the millennial. Oh, that's right. Yeah. The loudest guy talking about Me Too, who's 23 years old, he's thinking Me Three. Hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I'm your lovable chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear, the Doctrinaires. Jared Yamamoto out. English Nick is in. Let's do this.
More headlines for Monday, August 27th.
All right. I don't have you here just to look at your pretty face.
Oh, you're too kind.
Although that's just an added benefit for me. I call English Nick the world's oldest teenager.
Aww.
Now that Dick Clark is gone,
yeah.
You need another world's oldest teenager.
Robin Leach is gone now, too, so I'm like the only British guy left on the airways.
That's right. And I often say this, and I don't mean it in a derogatory way, English Nick reminds me of a monkey. Not at the zoo, one of the monkeys, you know. Daydream believer.
Davey.
Exactly. You got that sort of spirit to you. All right, give me some headlines.
All right, a man has been charged after he stormed the stage during the Beyonce and Jay-Z concert down at the Mercedes-Benz on Saturday night.
I don't know if this is your legal name after you do things like this that are infamous, but this guy's got a long one. He's got four names.
Anthony Charles Thomas Maxwell.
Trouble.
Oh, boy.
A guy with four names.
They're all first names.
They're all first names. So there's trouble coming from this guy. So there's obviously, because it was a show, there's lots of people who had their phones out.
Yes.
And here's some coverage. I don't even know what went on. Did he walked up and said something to Jay-Z?
He approached Jay-Z and made contact with him.
Did he give him his card
Follow
or something?
Follow me on Instagram.
No, and he had a demo. Tape. He had a demo, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So whoever had this phone that was taking the footage, I want to say I think the operative phrase here would be, oh, my God. Well, at least he went from heaven to hell.
Yeah.
It's five oh my gods and one what the hell.
It follows the beat, too. That's
it really does. Someone needs to mix that.
Oh, my God.
You see what happens when you get to a point where there comes along a generation whose vocabulary is just so thin. Yeah. They do not.
What the hell?
There's a fight.
Oh, I forgot there's a fight.
There's a fight.
He only speaks in threes. There's a fight. Oh my God! What the hell? Mm. And then I guess a little bit later, this is when the security gets involved. This guy has more commentary.
What?
Yeah, one more. Oh my God!
You had to put a point on it.
One more.
It almost sounded like somebody was checking a microphone in the background.
Oh my God!
Check one. Two,
did y'all get that? Oh my God!
Oh my God!
I like when they're checking the microphone and they have like a favorite number. 14. 14.
Pick up. Oh my God!
Move over, 14, guy. Oh my God!
That guy says the same thing when he gets like a great. Like dish at a restaurant. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's on every Instagram video of him at
a
restaurant.
OMG.
Oh my God.
So was it a dangerous thing? I know that Jay-Z and Beyonce said they weren't going to press charges. Now it looks like charges are going to be
They put out a press release that said they were happy nobody was injured during the incident and they wanted to thank their crack security team. My thing was, if your security team's that crack, how did the guy get on stage in the first place?
Yeah, you'd think they'd be able to avoid that.
Yeah.
But it's a large place, lots of people.
Yeah. Actually,
Monica Coppin was all right, right? Because you told me
she posted some great videos from it.
Instagramming from the big show.
Yeah, she was.
How does it work with them? Is it Jay-Z opens and then
there was a
I think Beyonce
it was like,
and then they?
I might be wrong, but DJ Khaled or whatever his name
is. Khaled, yeah, he's famous.
He brought up a bunch of locals.
Very large man.
Brought up Luda and a bunch of guys from Atlanta. Then Jay-Z goes on, and then Mr. and Mrs. Carter do their. Then she comes on.
Right. She does her thing, and then they do a thing together.
Yeah,
little jam together. They're very creative. Their first tour was called On the Run, and when they decided to do it again. I guess no one wanted to put a pencil to paper. It's just On the Run 2.
Oh, it's perfect.
We're back.
Is it T-O-O?
No, it's just, you know.
Oh. Yeah,
Roman numeral.
99 problems, and Anthony Charles Thomas Maxwell is one of them this weekend.
Yeah.
This is just.
Your boy.
I probably wouldn't. I might recognize one Beyonce song. I recognize that she's the biggest thing.
She's
bigger than big. There's big, and then there's Beyonce, and I'm sure that she deserves it. I don't know. I don't know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. What are you saying?
Get it.
No. You're saying because you think because I'm white.
Yeah.
That's why. No.
Yeah, and old.
No. Well, okay. Maybe old. I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. But I go see an Al Green show.
Yeah, sure.
So I'll take the old.
Yeah.
But don't lay the I'm a white guy.
You just can't handle Beyonce because she's a strong woman.
That's what it is.
That's right.
I think her music
is strong woman of color.
Yeah. Why don't you sit down and have a glass of lemonade? Full stop.
Yeah, that's what
it is.
Oh my God.
Got burned.
Oh my God.
You got the full stop.
Oh my God. Oh, Tim. Oh my God. Tim. Next, oh my God.
Next story.
There's a fight.
What the hell?
Can you give me the Ernest Angley story? Because I see this in the pile. He doesn't even know. You know who Ernest Angley is,
right?
Yeah,
I watched him when I was a kid and made fun of him.
You're not going to believe this. Now, Ernest Angley is, whenever a comedian does an impression of a TV pastor, they're getting it from Ernest Angley. They're actually getting it from Robin Williams. Robin Williams took it from Ernest Angley. And then I think Phil Collins did it in a music video. But anytime you see the comedian doing the TV preacher, it's Ernest Angley is the preacher that is being parodied. Now, this story, there was two things that I found out. One is, at 97, Ernest Angley is still around.
Uh-huh.
But then this is creepy / funny. I'm going to get in trouble for that, but go ahead.
Yeah, a former pastor said that he was abused when he was 10 years old, and this started in 2004.
Well, I don't know.
No, my bad.
No.
It was over a 10-year period. My bad, yeah.
It started to make me feel bad. I was like, this is funny, and then you start throwing in.
It's not funny.
No, it's over. People, please, I'm not an animal.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was over a 10-year period, and so imagine, okay, Ernest Angley, in case you don't know, let me give you a primer. This is early in the 80s.
The miracle power of Almighty God is for everyone today. I was visited by God when I was 7 years of age.
All right, so that's where you could tell all the parodies come from, that TV pastor right there. And if you've never seen, he's got quite a look. He's a short fella, a little stout.
Wig.
Yeah, wig.
He used to heal people.
Yeah, well, then Benny Hinn came along.
You're right.
Stole that from him. So this guy, who was an associate pastor at a mega church in Ohio, he says Angley, recently turned 97, forced him in 2004. See, sometimes with these stories, I just wonder about the other side. So this guy says he forced him in Angley.
Did he take him at gunpoint?
Yeah, and forced him in 2004 to get a vasectomy as a condition of his employment. Now, how many people want to work someplace
so bad?
So badly.
I'll take the job. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. And of all the operations, let me tell you something. Knives in that part of the body don't go together for Eric Von Hessler. Not a fan of that. But that surgery, I mean, it's an outpatient thing, but still, where it's happening.
Like if Ernest came to you and said, Eric Von Hessler, it's either a toe
Right.
Or the vasectomy.
To work for me, pretty sure you have to have an arm removed.
I'd have the arm removed.
Yeah.
But that's me. It's still, you got to admit, a vasectomy is a big deal. So, yeah, in that voice.
I don't want you to procreate. You belong to me and the Lord.
So right there, I begin to doubt the guy who's making the claim. Not doubting that it happened, but doubting that he didn't want it to happen. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's really willing to go pretty far to work for Ernest Angley.
He made me remove my eyes.
So that I couldn't see another preacher.
That's right. I went along with it because I was afraid to say no.
Okay, now, so here we go. So this guy is in 2004. Ernest Angley says you have to get a vasectomy as a condition of employment. Then inspected his genitals. Right there. Okay, now you got two reasons to walk out the door.
I need to make sure the surgery took.
Like if you're going for two reasons.
I'd like to see your resume and your genitals, please.
And
sounds pretty typical to me. You guys don't have that?
And by the way, it's this voice that's asking these questions.
Carried away by his spirit.
Let me see your genitalia.
And repeatedly asked questions of a sexual nature at Angley's Grace Cathedral in Cuyahoga Falls. The lawsuit alleges Angley made Miller lie on a bed while the televangelist massaged him, and you cannot imagine how comical that is if you've never seen Ernest Angley.
Let me work those knots out. Mr. Douglas, I have here a genuine Bible that'll heal you, but first I need to inspect your genitals.
Why, yeah. Mr. Haney?
You know, what's really the problem here is these guys just keep living too long. Yeah. You see, I'm telling you, man, you do not want to have been in the public eye and be living into your late 90s as the hashtag MeToo era begins. People just outlive.
I outlived my heterosexuality.
I mean, if this started in 2004, Ernest was 83 at that point.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know, maybe he thought he didn't have long left.
It's just real. I wonder about, I feel like you can't, just because of the way the Me Too politics are, when it's, because sometimes you wonder, well, 14 years ago this happened, and now you're coming out and saying, but with women, it's the past because of, you know, the years of don't speak up and get it. I get all that.
Them being blamed for it.
Right. But this, like when it comes to guys, I feel like I'm on firmer ground. To say, I just, why weren't you complaining in 2004? Why now?
My
what
glutes
was it?
Are tight.
Now maybe he was Ernest's special one.
Yeah,
and then somebody else came along and replaced him, and so he's angry. That's why he's coming.
Ernest goes to church. Remember the fine movie. Let me rub your toes for God.
Was that number 10 in those movies? Oh. I think.
Give me one more story.
Oh, hang on. Let me get my thoughts together.
I apologize to everybody for everything that's just happened. You know, people will get upset, but I think that Ernest...
We're not mocking
anything
but
I'm going to tell you right now, I think Ernest Angley is a joke. And if you don't think he's a joke, then that's the difference between you and this show. I don't consider Ernest Angley a good spokesperson for God. And this... Well, this just takes him down another notch in my eye. Tell a man he needs to get a vasectomy. Who thinks that that's not a reason to walk out? I mean, Ernest is wrong, but I'm doubting this guy. I don't like that. Is it steel drums?
Hey, man, what's up, man?
It's that band Space, yeah.
Oh, sometimes I can't tell steel drums from xylophones.
I think that was xylophone there.
That's xylophone?
I think so.
Nothing like a steel drum band on a Saturday afternoon, beautiful day. You're walking down, there's a steel drum band.
Got a cocktail going on.
You feel like you're drunk, even whether you're drunk or not. I feel light. Got another story for me?
Yeah, Sesame Street is suing over the new obscene Melissa McCarthy movie.
Oh, what's that? What's that called? Happy Time Murders?
Happy Time Murders, yeah.
On the poster, it says no Sesame, just Street. Because now you know about this.
Yes.
Tim Andrews, because you like puppetry.
Sure.
And
everybody knows that about Tim.
Oh yeah, he's a big puppetry guy,
the puppet master.
He so this was is this the son of the
Jim Henson's son? Yes.
Okay. And this movie is filthy, apparently.
Yeah, rated R.
It is getting the worst reviews. This does not happen very often. This movie is getting such bad reviews, I actually want to see it.
Same here.
Because sometimes a movie will get reviews so, especially if it's a comedy, that they're so bad that I begin to wonder if people are actually saying the movie wasn't good, or are they just deciding we don't want Muppets to say these things? And I've got a feeling it's more the latter than the former.
Right. Yeah, Sesame Street says they've diluted and defiled a beloved television show.
Well, by putting no
such. I need to get alive.
Elmo.
Elmo's all for it.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, you gotta relax, right, Elmo? Enjoy yourself.
People need to relax, you know.
Yeah, we're all getting older, right? You're at least, I don't know, 4 or something. I don't know. What is Elmo?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
4.
Hey, if Elmo likes it, it was good enough for Elmo. I think it should be good enough.
Two F words.
It's one of those movies where you get two things. This is the worst thing ever made. And then in a lot of the comments, people are going, I don't know, I thought it was pretty funny.
That's what happens on Twitter. Yes, you see the critics, oh, it's terrible, but people loved it.
People who go see it.
You can just go, there. Movies like this, you have to go in with the right frame of mind. You know, like people could say that
Drunk?
The Borat movie, maybe, that the Borat movie was stupid and it didn't have a I wasn't good. But if you go into it with the right mindset, it's hilarious and great.
You know what? When I hear steel drums and or xylophones, I am immediately in the right mindset for anything. You know what? We've been trying to do the conspiracy desk. This will be the 3rd show in a row.
Yeah, but there's a conspiracy preventing it from happening.
Well, I want to get to that. We're going to do it here, but are you going to believe this? There's been some breaking news that I want to get to. I want to cover that. And then, so the first week, first time we did it, I don't know, I guess we maybe got to one story.
We talked about the donut shop.
Not enough, though. Not enough.
Right.
And then the second one, I just went on a rant about how Oswald killed JFK, and we never got to the stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try again, but in just a moment. No conspiracy here. I'm not trying to push you off, Tim Andrews.
Mm-hmm,
please.
Sure. I get you.
We are going to get to the conspiracy desk. But what is the I got this push notification
on
my
too.
Phone from the WSB radio app.
Yeah, feds are demanding 8 years of Mayor Kasim Reed's travel and spending records.
That's pretty interesting. Well, it's Kasim Reed.
This is interesting.
Oh, I think I should. Should I have put that in my?
Of course.
Well, I messed up.
Oh well.
If I go back and try.
If only Jared over here.
Me too.
This is interesting.
This is interesting.
Kasim Reed. So they. This is because of our partners at Channel 2 and AJC. They basically dug up this story and have gone after it tenaciously. You know, they questioned the credit card spending by Reed, members of his cabinet, and his security detail over the final 3 years. Now the feds are asking for information about all 8 years, and the P cards. That sounds weird. They may have misused their P cards. Listen, if you're mayor, this is one thing I could tell you. Doesn't it go without saying, when you're mayor, you do not abuse the P card? This is something people used to understand, Tim Andrews, but now with the kids.
Yeah.
They just abuse the P cards all the time.
P cards here, P cards there, P cards everywhere.
Questionable expenses, including expensive meals, hotel rooms, limo rides, and luxury airfare. Doesn't say anything in here about ugly Christmas sweaters, but I don't know what budget that $36,000 came out of. I don't know what it is with these people. They become mayor and they think they're king. You're the mayor of Atlanta. Here's some news, and it should go for presidents as well. Every president seems to think, I'm going to be here forever. I'll do everything. I'll, you know, executive orders. I'll do this. This president, oh, it's Canada. They're a threat. They're a military threat. So we've got to do, they just, you know, like they're going to, as if the next guy can't just walk in and completely reverse it. Where's the humility with these politicians.
That's what I think. Where is the humility?
That's a good question.
Where? I don't know.
I just Kasim Reed. He couldn't have been followed by a more friendly administration, right? Kasim Reed wanted.
Oh yeah.
This mayor to become mayor, and yet still, apparently, his behavior allegedly was so egregious that even having a friend follow you is not going to protect you.
I wonder if he'll drag her down.
I don't know. I don't know. It looks to me like she's trying to be as transparent as possible. But she just got in there.
Right.
We won't know what her thing is for a few years.
She's got to be loving it that this guy just keeps dragging the city into the dumpster.
Well, it makes her look good.
Yeah.
And it kind of very early on kind of shows her what not to do. If you were thinking about sending an aide to get your dry cleaning, nah, not a good idea. If you were thinking about giving out $36,000 for the ugliest Christmas sweater, yeah, not a good idea. Sometimes it's good to follow somebody who really did everything wrong, because all the examples are right there for you of what not to do.
Her P card's still in the top drawer, I guarantee.
Yeah, I don't think she's using the P card the way Kasim Reed did.
No.
But, you know, because he's a man, he can use it anywhere and cheat. No. See what I did there?
I did.
Falling in love with, I don't know what's happening to me. Kasim, this guy, I thought this guy's going to run for senator or something.
Or governor.
Yeah, not anymore. And you know what? Even if they find him not guilty, when you're mayor of any place, small town, city, big city, doesn't matter. Your job is not only to be clean, but to avoid the appearance of scandal.
Right, optics.
All of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should walk away. But again, what in the hell was Kasim Reed going to get out of this? You can only do two terms and then you're gone. Then you're back to being a citizen. Why would you want to go back to being a citizen having to worry about them finding all the skeletons you buried for 8 years all over the...
Well, he ran into the Bill Campbell problem. You know, Al Gore was supposed to win.
Yeah.
Bill Campbell would have had a job. Kasim Reed, Hillary Clinton was supposed to win. He would have had a job.
But I don't know that still would have kept him from the feds looking into this stuff.
Well, Hillary would have covered it up.
Oh, you think so?
You know it.
What is that voice? Are you back?
Hey,
are you back to like act every? All it's always the hillbillies
Not
that are
this, this guy with nasal problems.
Okay.
He's just our neighbor. He hasn't. Yes. He has got ear, nose, and throat issue. Make fun of him for that.
See, there's the erudite rednecks.
My wife is correct. Why would you make fun of a poor man who lives in a trailer on our property, doesn't pay rent? He goes out and finds rabbits and other animals.
Squirrels,
deer, yes. Whatever.
And I resent the idea that you make that my typical listener.
I'm your typical listener.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Of course we are.
That's what I thought.
Make America great again, correct?
Make America great again.
Absolutely.
How do you think that's going? I like the economy.
Swimmingly, darling. Well, today is honestly,
darling, we were talking this morning over coffee. Before your show started, uh-huh. How wonderful it would be today when the president announces that the United States and Mexico have reached an agreement on NAFTA. Now we're waiting on Justin Trudeau in Canada to make it all official. And it won't be on the news because, of course, they're talking
about
no name.
Yeah. Erudite rednecks. I love you. You really are.
We love you.
You follow the news.
Well, that's Tim Andrews. He cracks me up.
And does he now?
And I like English Nick. He's a fun fellow.
If you like Tim Andrews, you're going to love this next segment.
Live from the Conspiracy News Desk in Midtown Atlanta, here's Tim Andrews.
All right, I want to make sure.
So anyway, Oswald did not act alone.
Of course he did.
Funded by the CIA and the mafia.
How did the bullet make a right turn?
Full stop.
All right. We're not going to argue about...
I've said full stop. You can't argue with me.
There's no need to argue.
Sit down.
I've already made my point.
Don't
I'm correct.
Me. Don't at me.
Why do people have to try to make life more interesting? Life is already interesting. You don't have to make up weird conspiracy theories to make life interesting.
Life is
already interesting.
If it weren't for fake news, we wouldn't have to. But they don't tell us everything.
See, again, you're doing it, Tim Andrews.
No, that's the neighbor of the other fellow.
Please, it's just our neighbor. He's got a sinusitis.
We have a lot of redneck neighbors. So.
I know. I don't know if I care for this social commentary.
What accent should I do? All right, I'll do Central Ohio. You know what's going on over there?
Thank you.
Know, it's crazy. You know, you got all these people out there. You know, like.
There you go. So from now on, whenever you're doing a comedic take on a Trumper, mm-hmm. it's mid-Ohio.
West accent. Virginia, Western PA, that little golden
exactly.
triangle of...
Not our friends and neighbors here.
No.
Who are always correct.
This is a Texas accent.
What's about the French person? I could be redneck too?
Yeah, see, the French could be rednecks.
Oh, yes, make America great.
I'm from Quebec, and I don't like your president.
No.
I'm French. Don't you like my accent?
You have the story. Well, you know it's a good accent when you have to point out what the accent is.
Quebec, you know, I'm French.
Angry.
So, French-Canadian, I believe, is what you would be. I want to know the story about the conspiracy that theory that says that Elvis Presley is actually still alive. Now, I think there's something wrong with this conspiracy theory, namely that if Elvis Presley were still alive, he'd be about 90, wouldn't he? He'd be a very, very old man.
He would be. Yeah, he'd be very old.
He died
probably
in his early,
would have died by now anyway.
Died in his early 40s in 77, right? So
yes.
he would be in his 80s.
Yeah, well, you know, he didn't have a very healthy diet.
I understand that. Thanks for that information.
I mean, on top of the drugs, he just didn't eat well. He was fat as hell.
And he had that toothache at 2:30 in the morning, and then he was dead by 6.
At 2:30?
That tooth didn't kill him. The toilet did.
The toilet didn't kill him?
Sure it did.
That's just the
broke,
bus.
And it stabbed him in the legs.
Severed an artery.
And then his girlfriend left him for Bruce Jenner. It's a weird world.
Are we in the podcast?
Well, after she died. After he died, his girlfriend left.
I'm beginning to understand why I've avoided the conspiracy desk. Are you going to tell me the story or not?
You mean about the singing pastor, Bob Joyce?
Yes. He's supposed to be Elvis.
Know, thousands of people who are probably in their 70s and 80s now simply will refuse to accept the fact that Elvis Presley died on the toilet in 1977 in his Graceland mansion.
Wasn't a good way to go.
Right.
Although he wasn't a mansion. Better to die in a toilet in a mansion than die in a toilet in a...
I have a friend who got in trouble for using that toilet. Anyway, that's a different story.
Okay.
Well, there's a guy in Benton, Arkansas who...
You have a friend that went into Graceland and decided to use the... I would think that would be roped off.
Who gets to go in there? They were doing they were filming it in there. He was with a production crew, and he had to go to the bathroom.
He wasn't being snarky.
He went in there and used it. He knew what it was, and he went in there and used it, and he got in trouble. Pastor Robert Joyce.
No, the story there is that he lived.
Yeah, that's true. Because
the last guy who used it didn't.
Well, it accomplished its mission.
All right, so this guy is a pastor.
He is a pastor, and he sounds like Elvis.
Let's see. I thought that I had him.
He sounds like Autumn's kids. The Pastor Robert Joyce.
Hold on.
There we go.
Sounds like Elvis.
That's a good voice.
But this dude, I'm looking at this dude. He looks like he's about, I don't know, 60-something, maybe.
Yeah, he looks like Kenny Rogers without the bad eye surgery. He's in his... guy's in his 60s, right?
Why do you have to go after Kenny?
I love Kenny Rogers, but boy, he knows he made a mistake.
Saying, he does know. He said that. He's regretted it.
Well, he made a mistake. People make mistakes.
Well, you gamble.
Oh, boy.
Oh, damn. Doing it?
Do not drag my show.
I love this segment.
With my good name. Mm-hmm.
This segment is my Burning Man.
Well,
I'm loving this
segment. Burn this whole damn
Well,
town
Elvis
down.
Gave up beautiful women and money and touring and music.
Because he was tired of all that.
Tired of all of it. He wanted.
By the way, that is a conspiracy theory that only poor folks could come up with.
Yes.
He was tired of being rich and famous.
He didn't want to be rich and famous no more, so he gave it all up.
He wanted to go back to his youth of being dirt poor.
Yeah.
And singing.
Living in a shack and singing gospel records with his mom.
Right. And this guy is supposed to be... Now, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I think I know the answer.
Uh-huh.
Because on these conspiracy desk stories, I think you should tell us, do you, Tim Andrews, believe that this Pastor Joyce is, in fact, Elvis Presley undercover, living the life of poverty that he'd always dreamed of?
I have to say that I'm undecided on this because I remember the Bill Bixby specials, Is Elvis Alive? And
yeah.
Gail Brewer Giorgio's book, Orion, which is about Elvis faking his death. That could be Elvis. Listen to that. Those pipes.
Isn't it possible that he just likes Elvis and couldn't he just modeled his voice after...
Yeah, the vibrato style.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he looks nothing like Elvis.
He looks a little bit like Elvis, but I mean, like I say, Elvis would be 90 or something
right.
now. I don't know.
And his voice wouldn't sound that good either.
Elvis was born in the 30s. He was born in 33 or something, I
believe. Mama love the roses.
Do you have another conspiracy desk story?
Yeah.
Without any wordplay?
I can't promise that.
English Knicks. What is the Sunday with the Daily Express?
Yeah, it's like most papers in the UK, you have the daily version, the Express, and then
Sunday.
On Sundays, yeah, Sunday. Yeah, you
know. And is this a tabloid? Because this is where Andrews is getting most of his conspiracy theory stories.
I feel like the Express must have gone down a peg or two because I never remember it being this.
Well,
like,
they have a section that's just
baldy
this stuff.
And stuff.
Here's some other related articles to the stuff that we've already been talking about. Here's one: Is NASA lying about the moon? Shock claim, moon is 3 kilometers from Earth. What?
No way.
That sounds right.
Yeah, it does seem about right. I was always thinking 3 to 5.
I don't know what the kilometers mean, but it's probably that close.
That's why we've walked on it so many times. It's so close, right?
Yeah, you just hop over there.
Yeah.
I never killed an ometer.
They always say shock claim in this too. Nibiru shock. This
Nibiru.
Is another, yeah.
Say it right.
Nibiru.
Yeah, Nibiru.
Nibiru shock.
Get your Nibiru right.
Are they hiding Planet X? Conspiracy expert speaks out. What does that mean, a conspiracy expert? Here's a guy who knows a lot about this thing that isn't true.
I've been watching YouTube for the last 7 years. Yeah, I know all of them.
Is he an expert on conspiracies or just about Planet X?
I'm not sure. He's a conspiracy expert. So what is the – just give me the headline for that. We're getting much time. The next conspiracy you're about to give me.
Flat Earth bombshell. Shock claim. Australia is not real and never existed.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm just closing this shop down.
Hey, listen, have you ever been there?
It's what I call it down under, because it's not there.
I hope the good listeners have enjoyed Conspiracy Desk. I feel like maybe this is the last one.
No,
I like doing it. You let me dig up some more stories.
At this point, people are just trolling conspiracy theorists, right? Somebody finds an old claim that Australia doesn't exist, and anybody you know from Australia is an actor, and now
they're all
actors.
Paul Hogan. Well,
Paul Hogan.
He's from Akron, Ohio, actually.
Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee, is in fact an actor, so there is some veracity to that.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Now, you see what I mean? I think now it's just that conspiracy theorists don't believe anything, so now with social media, they throw something up there, and before you know it, 50,000 people are like, yeah, it makes sense. Australia doesn't exist. All right, time flies when you're having fun. I don't want you to think the reason we're having fun is because Jared Yamamoto isn't here. For heaven's sakes, that's not the reason. We're just having fun, and time is flying. Get off my back! Hour 3 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I'm your lovable chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear, sans Jared Yamamoto for today.
Sans?
Sans. You know what sans means? Means without.
Without him.
Without him. Tim Andrews is here. English Nick is filling in for Jared. Autumn Fisher is here. Let's do this.
Even more headlines for Monday, August 27th.
Even more headlines.
She's jealous. Autumn's jealous of any other
female. Even more headlines. Can you believe it? On August 27th.
Oh.
Autumn is jealous of any other female voice on this show.
That's my role.
I love
as a woman is to catfight.
Aren't you meant to support your fellow woman there, Autumn?
Oh, I support other women, except for the ones that are vying for my job.
That's right.
All right.
And she will viciously take them out.
Yep.
You remember the whole Mexico compound thing that was in the news last week, was it?
New Mexico. So in New Mexico, there's a local connection because the father of the son that died out there and was buried out there, He's been, I believe he's been extradited back to Georgia now. They had this strange sort of terrorist camp, but they were all living in poverty out in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, and apparently training these kids to go shoot up schools and things like this. I mean, these were notions whether they could have pulled it off. I don't know. But
well, now they find there was an alleged plan to attack Atlanta's Grady Hospital.
I don't find that hard to believe. Oh, yeah, because they were upset by some of the service they got there or something.
Yes. Also saying it was a corrupt institution.
That little compound they had out there in New Mexico, what I don't understand is, so this guy was held because he had to be extradited, and he's the ringleader, extradited to the state of Georgia. But the other adults, another guy and three or four women, were given bail, like easily attained bail, to get back out on the streets again, because the judge said, oh, if they weren't Muslims, you wouldn't be looking at them this way, which is absolutely outrageous when you think about the fact that a 3.5-year-old kid died out there, mm-hmm. was buried, and no one called the authorities. Last I checked, when somebody dies around you, you're supposed to call the authorities. You don't just, oh, a kid died? Well, let's just bury him in the backyard. We won't tell anybody. And I'm supposed to believe from this judge if they were Christians? Imagine this. There's a Christian compound in the middle of New Mexico, and a kid dies, gets buried out there. They don't contact the authorities and let them know that's happened. And you're telling me a judge would give them easy walk-in parole because they're Christian? I don't buy that for a second. I don't know what is in this judge's head. I don't. To one degree or another, all of these people are guilty of what's going on out there. But they're all certainly, as adults, equally guilty of not reporting the death of a small child. How do you get back out on the street with easy bail on that? Like I say, the ringleader, the guy from Georgia, was extradited here because of child abduction charges. At that time, they didn't know. They knew, but they didn't know that the kid that died was the child that he abducted. So it doesn't surprise me that these morons would have attacked Grady or any place else. I mean, we don't know if they had the wherewithal to actually do the things that they were planning, because I think that they were starving out there.
There's a story now where they say the last hours of this 3-year-old's life, where his heart was going in and out, his heartbeat. Yeah. They knew he was sick.
Well, they
didn't do anything about it.
He had an affliction to begin with. I believe he had epilepsy or some sort of complication like that. And the father decided that, I don't know, he was possessed by the devil or something, and that's how he was going to take care of him. But how do you let a bunch of adults, how do you give them easy walk-in bail?
Right. Doesn't make any sense.
When you don't report the fact that a child has died in your care. That alone, before you get to we were training the kids to shoot up schools or anything, that alone should be $500,000 bail.
Maybe we ought to investigate this a little.
A little bit, yeah. But this idiot judge in New Mexico, oh, you're only treating them this way because they're Muslims. I don't see that. I don't see that. Oh, it's a good Christian family out there. They didn't report the death of their kid. I think they'd be in a whole lot of trouble. I don't know what's going on in that judge's head.
Yeah, anytime.
Well, thankfully, this has all been stopped, and they're not going to attack anybody. But next story.
All right, Rachel Maddow's having.
I don't know. My opinion is that I'm against it. I'm against what they were doing out there, that New Mexico desert. And they're, as far as I'm concerned, how could you be around and know that a child died and not report that to somebody? Or even report to somebody that the child is gravely ill and needs medical attention?
They're all insane. They're all brainwashed, I guess.
Yeah. They didn't feel like, I mean, talk about conspiracy theories. I'm sure that they thought if they brought their son in, then even worse would happen to him, or he would be in the system, and then they could track him. You know,
right. Or that, he would get in the way of their plans. Next story.
All right, for a third night in a row, this was Thursday night, Rachel Maddow on MSNBC has the highest ratings.
Oh, who cares?
Right.
To me, they're all the same. I know people who listen to this, a lot of listeners, they have their favorite, you know, a lot of Fox News. To me, they're all the same. They all suck. All these 24-hour news networks suck. They do not give you news. They give you POV, their point of view. You know, we've decided that this is the story that, yeah, we know we've got 24 hours. You'd think in 24 hours they could give us every damn news story under the sun, here and abroad. Ever notice it seems to be three or four over a 24-hour period?
All day long.
Wonder what that's about.
Yeah.
That's got to be about wanting to get the information out to the folks. That has to be the first thing that is that's in their mind. So Rachel Maddow probably did well because there was probably the people who hate Trump, I mean the resistance people, were probably getting tired of not – they thought he was going to be gone by now. And so they tune out. And then last week with the Manafort thing and
– We got him.
The Cohen – yeah, they all think they've got him.
We got him.
They believe – so they're getting re-energized, and so they tune back in.
It's Mueller time, hashtag Mueller time.
If you wanted real news about Trump, why would you go to a 24-hour news network? I don't know. I never watch Bloomberg. I imagine they're just as bad as CNN probably. There's not one of them.
Have you seen anything at all this morning about how the NAFTA deal might be finalized this week?
Well, okay, but then you do the same thing. You get angry about it.
I'm not angry. They're just not up there.
You come in every day with your, oh, did you see that this news people and they didn't? And I'm like, well, of course.
That's important.
Why are you expecting more from these people?
I hold them to the same standards I hold you to.
If you want news, do not go to a 24-hour news network on television. I don't care which one it is. If you want bias confirmation, maybe a little bit of entertainment, sure, that's what it's there for. But Rachel Maddow's ratings go up because people on the left think they've got something. And that's it. It's not about news. It's about, well, our side's winning. Our side. That's never the United States of America. It's within that country, our side is winning. And they're just going to set themselves up again. They're sure they're going to get... It's funny because people talk about impeachment as if it means the president is removed, including Trump. Last week, who said, if I'm impeached...
There are going to be a lot of poor people. A lot of poor people. The stock market will tank.
No, in fact, if you're impeached, what will happen the very next day is you will go into the Oval Office and be the president of the United States.
Oh, I don't go play golf?
No, it doesn't work that way. You got a trial in the Senate, and you're not going to get two-thirds of the Senate to remove.
Maybe.
Unless there's something that we don't know, not based on the argument that's laid out there now. Impeachment might be a good thing, actually, going into the 2020.
Energize the base.
That's right.
Get out and vote.
I'm amazed at the way that people consume news now. It's a complete team sport. You're not going for news. You already know what you already know. Now you want to tune in and have somebody tell you what you know you already know. Admit it. That's what you're looking for. You're not looking for something new. It's called confirmation bias. These 24-hour news networks should be called 24-hour confirmation bias networks. Tune into MSNBC and the president's about to be impeached and removed. Tune into Fox News and you can't remove a president who's this wonderful. Tune into CNN and you've just got to, people who hope he's removed, but every once in a while have to point out that will be very difficult.
Well, you can tune in to me weeknights at 9 p.m. Rachel Maddow. Well, Number one.
Got Rachel Maddow right here.
Number one.
You sound wonderful. Can I
Thank
say?
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate that.
Hey, Rachel, this is Chris Cuomo. Don't worry. I have Kellyanne Conway on tonight. I'm going to be yelling at her for half an hour.
Excellent. Excellent. Can't wait for that coming up. Back to you, Eric.
Well, it's a different network, but that's okay.
We're all on the same side.
Real
though.
News.
Oh, we're on the same side. We're on the same team.
I'm Wolf Blitzer, and I pretend to be unbiased, but boy, do I hate Trump.
Wolf Blitzer is so unbiased that I remember that when Hillary Clinton got the nomination,
I was popping tops.
He had a glass of champagne in his hand.
That's right.
I mean, doesn't he have an obligation to just try to hide it?
At least leave it in the office, Wolf.
We won!
He knows the guy behind the camera.
Yeah.
He can say, hey, Jim, I don't think this looks good.
Cheers!
I think it's funny that Why do people? You really tell me? I don't believe any of it. You know, if you MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, you don't want to hear anything you don't already know. You know, so don't bother.
I love that slogan.
Yeah, so how does that go again?
Tune in to MSNBC for things that you know you already know you knew.
That's not true. I listen to Shep Smith and I get really angry.
Oh, yeah. Because what's he doing on there?
He's lying.
Why is he on there?
Fake news.
He's not doing what everybody else is doing.
Get rid of him.
They ought to get rid of that guy. He doesn't tell me what I already know I know. All right, we got another story here. But before that, can I just say, people... There's a lot of false stories about John McCain making the way around the internet. If you need me in 2018 to tell you to check sources, you're probably too far gone. Isn't this something that should just be second nature to us now? If I see it on the internet, here's an idea. I immediately suspect it's false until I go and source it and find out it's true. Because if you don't make that shift, man, if you don't do that in your head right now, this country's doomed. How much is it going to take before every single one of you doubts everything you see on the internet? But Eric, it'll take time and effort for me to go source something. That is correct. And if you don't start doing that right now, this country that I know you all claim to love is doomed. Is it that simple? Somebody can just throw a story out there and you go, oh, well, that must be true. McCain must have killed 123 people by hot-dogging in his plane. Must be true. Why check it? Okay, what's for lunch? Boy, you wonder why the Russians have such power. Turns out it wasn't Hillary, and it wasn't Assange, and it wasn't Trump. It was you, dear listener, who, first of all, put yourself in such an easily found category. I'm for this. You'll find me over here on the internet. Feed me any story you like. I'll believe it, because I hate that other person. And then the fact that you just won't source anything. That's how Russia found you. You put it right there in your bio on Facebook or on Twitter. This is who I am. This is what I believe.
Research for uneducated losers.
I don't know if they're all uneducated. I have to tell you. I just think people are so...
Yeah, I have a bachelor's in journalism.
Yeah, that lady.
Perfect.
Easy.
I just think that your bumper sticker's right there in your bio. This is what I believe. This is who I love. This is who I hate. Feed me false stories. It's unbelievable that people just read something. Well, did you know? We're hearing it around here. I'm not going to say names. Well, you know, he was, what about the real John McCain who blah, 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 blah. Oh, the one you read about on the internet?
He met with one of the al-Nusra guys and they set up ISIS. And then that's what, yeah, I read that.
I read that. It must be true.
Saw a picture of it.
Come on. You want Russia out of your elections? Be willing to source every story. Repeat after me. If I read it on the internet, I immediately assume it's not true until I source it and find out that it is in fact true. That's being a patriot. Oh, yes. I believe that I said that these were either xylophones or steel drums.
And I thought it was a xylophone.
It wasn't a steel drum. It wasn't a xylophone. It was a marimba.
Come on, man.
Oh, I feel silly.
Come on, man.
I feel silly.
Dummy.
What is going on? You know, we have them of these, because we're in media, we have 8 television shows on it on 2 different screens. 4-piece. And I'm looking at, so this must be a repeat on The View, because it's that Michelle Wolf.
I'm Michelle Wolf. Yeah. She has a great smoky eye.
Yeah.
Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, Republican.
Abortions are great.
She's like in Doppler.
Yeah. Sounds like a fake laugh I had when I was in middle school.
Yeah. I'm something that's. These Republicans really—they're
so dumb.
And then next to that, my screen is the real.
I guess that's the best one.
That's like the black view. Is that it? That's why it's the real.
No,
it's the same. Well,
they're
no,
all people. They're women of color, Eric, not just African American.
Okay, there's Asian lady.
They
there
have
as
an
well.
Asian, Hispanic.
Okay. All right, I'm all for it. Look, I've watched that show before. I watched The View.
Right.
We're on the but real.
I'd watch a lot of things.
Have you ever watched The Real? Your brain will fall out.
Well, I noticed.
I need it. I need my brain.
They have a thing called Man Crush Monday.
Oh, yeah, it's the best.
Hashtag MCM.
All right, but here's the thing. I thought man crush was something. Not a woman doesn't have a man crush. A woman is turned on. A man crush, I thought, was like when a guy wants to hang out with another guy. Am I missing?
That's a bromance. That's a bromance.
Now, it started out the way Eric was saying it, though.
Yeah, why would a woman need a man crush?
We expect
women are attracted to men.
No, because you post the person who is your man crush. Hashtag MCM.
But what does that mean? That you don't want to marry that person? You just want to have
he's
a beer
hot,
with them?
Yeah,
hot.
You don't understand how ladies work. Like we don't want to get with them physically, necessarily.
I understand that, but what I'm saying to you is I think that you don't know the history here. I think man crush as an
started
idea.
Started out as two guys who have a man.
Who's the guy that you would want to hang out with? Your man crush.
I have a man crush on Pierce Brosnan, and I hope someday we have a bromance.
And what's the difference between man crush and bromance? Well, like you go over the
top
with
man crush, you might not really know the guy, but once you become friends, then you can have a bromance and hang out in your man cave.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weird, right? Because
it's not sexual at all.
No.
When you meet a man,
we're just watching.
When two adult men meet each other and they don't know each other and they both want to get to know each other more, it's weird because you kind of have to ask each other out on like a date.
No. It's very easy. It's just, are you watching that game? Yeah. Come on over.
Yeah.
There's enough like social things.
Oh, you like Rick and Morty too?
Right. Let's hang out.
then you show up and you think you're going to a party and it's just you and the other guys. I thought there must be some other.
And it's only a love seat.
Fans,
yeah, we're
here.
Just gonna chill out, man.
I have a dream. I have a dream of me and Ewan McGregor renting motorcycles and riding around town.
Just driving around, right?
Ewan's my man crush.
We only have one motorcycle, and I squeeze him from behind.
I know that this is true.
My man crush.
Because I didn't understand what it meant once. I was asked, like, well, who would your man crush be? And I was like, well, I thought it was like, you mean like somebody that I would marry? What are you? I didn't get the idea that man crush meant, oh, this is somebody you want to hang out with. You want to go shooting. I have a man crush for Alan Hunt.
Don't come at me with that. Don't come at me with that.
I have a feeling.
So somebody asked me that once, and I was like, well, and I thought of like this like male model. I was like, well, he's kind of feminine looking, I suppose. He's like, no, I didn't mean it that way. And that was long before women were using man crush. So I think that you're wrong, Autumn.
I had a man crush on Bruce Jenner, but look how that turned out.
That's the reason it turned out that way.
Somehow he got away.
He slipped through my fingers.
We found out, Andrew.
Yes.
Time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We give you the stories, WTFs, and outrages we just couldn't miss. It's the Doctrine Extra on the Von Hessler Doctrine.
The most embarrassing moments of my life. I don't know, that one male model, I suppose.
Well, that deli guy at the Publix, he's pretty good looking.
Eric thought about
it
for half.
That's right.
He thought about it for half a second.
I wouldn't go that other way. If I'm going to be with a man, give me Tom Selleck all day long.
Yeah.
All right, now, so we have stories
that
laying on the table.
Mustache.
It's a man, right?
Reverse mortgages.
It's a man. Boy, he is really convincing in that reverse mortgage thing.
I didn't know about it, but I looked it up.
I looked into it.
Tom Selleck does that?
I'm Magnum P.I. I wouldn't lie to you.
Oh, Tom Selleck does the one that's the best one ever.
Yeah.
First of all, they caught Tom Selleck at a time where he'll probably still be alive for another 10 or 15 years. Mm. The reverse mortgage people were on a bad streak for a while. They got James Garner when he had 3.5 minutes left to live. Then it was Fred Thompson, and he got... I mean, it's like, really, these people just started dropping like flies.
Don't forget Henry Winkler. I mean, who doesn't trust the Fonz?
Henry's still around. But Tom Selleck still looks actually pretty vital.
Right.
But his commercial is like super...
I looked into it.
I really... He's pulling out all the acting chops.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you think it's an episode of Blue Bloods.
Whatever you say, Tom Selleck.
Which I've never seen, by the way. Has anybody seen Blue Bloods?
Oh, I've seen highlights.
Great.
It's been on forever.
It's a CBS show. Does anyone watch it?
No one watches it. CBS shows... People do watch them. They stay on forever. My mother, rest in peace, I mean, she used to watch that JAG. I thought it was just commercials. I thought that there wasn't a real show. I thought it was just promos that they would show during football.
Never seen NCIS, never seen Becker, never seen JAG, but all those shows were on for 10 years.
My mother loved all those shows.
I think it's because they fall asleep during the CBS news and just leave it on.
It's on, yeah.
I remember when she told me in the, I don't know, like 2004, oh, I love that show JAG. Like, what? That's a show?
You have anybody under 50 who watches Big Bang Theory? I don't know anyone.
Oh, I know people who like the Big Bang. Oh. I have to be careful with the Big Bang Theory.
Why?
I
think
it's very divisive.
Because a lot of people really like it, and they're people that I like and respect. Just so I don't want to tell them that.
Well, I've tried. It's just there's nothing ever any funny. There never.
Oh,
any
I'm
funny.
Not going to watch it. I'm just going to be respectful of others.
It just announced the last season, right?
Yeah. Thank mom. It's no skin off my back. It wasn't like I was watching it anyway.
I didn't watch Two and a Half Men either, but you did, right?
I did not watch My Mother. That's another one. Was it CBS?
Oh, yeah.
My mother must have been locked into CBS for some reason.
Get here. Is Two Broke Girls CBS too?
Yeah, but I
never watched that.
I watched that.
Oh, you do watch that?
Yeah, for different reasons.
You know what?
Exactly.
I used to watch it because I didn't like it, and then I watched it so much. I started mockingly watching Two Broke Girls. And then after a while, I kind of started liking it.
Oh, sure. Mm.
Well, because one of them had a marijuana problem, and I thought, wow, this is a sitcom.
What, she run out?
No, she's like, like they had jokes.
That was her problem.
They had jokes where she'd like be smoking weed at work and everything because she was chronic.
Yeah, you can't do that as a waitress.
Well, in the sitcom, I said, wow.
Oh, yeah, that never happens.
Uh-uh.
But it was, they're two hot ladies, and it was terrible. All these sitcoms. The problem with sitcoms is they just don't reflect anything real. No, people don't just throw zingers at each other all day long.
Constantly.
Everyone has a gay friend and a nosy neighbor.
That's right. Every fifth beat is the punchline of a joke.
So, blah, 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 boom, boom, boom.
Blah, 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 blah.
I'm a good-looking guy. My best friend is chubby, and we have a gay friend that we go out with and a black friend. And we all like the same girl.
Yeah. They have, I mean, there have been good comedies, obviously, but
Seinfeld.
It's just bizarre. But Seinfeld, even now you look at it and it's still funny, but why the audience laughter? Why was that necessary? We see now that you can do good comedy shows, even in that style.
It was just a thing for the longest time.
But it's just ridiculous. Yeah. They're out on the street and the audience is laughing. Really doesn't make any sense. You might as well have a laugh track during Columbo, for heaven's sakes. Doesn't make any sense.
Margin killer.
There's like a sitcom on the moon. People are laughing.
Moon Man.
Somebody's done that with snippets from Twin Peaks. They've made it into like a Seinfeld comedy. But there's a laugh track when Agent Dale
out.
Cooper says something or does something.
Well, that's probably our guy here. Jesse.
No, he does. He makes different things. He makes memes.
Yeah.
He combines Seinfeld and Twin Peaks together.
Well, I thought we were doing Doctor and Nextra.
Yeah,
are we in conspiracy theories?
We need to play that sounder again. I forgot where we were.
We're at Doctor and Extra.
Okay.
What are you?
I'm pointing at breaking news. Go ahead.
Hang on. You've distracted him now.
Oh, it looks like Trump is announcing new trade deal with Mexico. That's your breaking news.
I love
them.
They're great.
And this is this is one side of NAFTA.
Uh-huh.
Canada still has to be worked out. But I think we do a lot more trade with Mexico than with Canada. So I don't know the details, obviously, because the president is sitting in that big chair in the Oval Office.
Very comfortable.
It's a comfortable chair.
Very, very.
Give me a Doctor and Extra story.
All right. A French vegan fest has been canceled amid fears of the Butcher's Revenge.
They are having, apparently.
Great movie, The Butcher's Revenge.
Wow.
There is.
This is in Calais.
Yeah, in Calais right now.
Yeah.
They are, of course, as you all know, I have a vacation home in Calais.
Sure,
yeah.
And so I'm very aware of the locals and the cuisine. So I'm perfect for this story. Because it's about nothing if not Calais and cuisine. So there's a big thing going on in this part of France between vegans and butchers. Now, you know, France, these places, everybody's got this union mentality.
Yep.
And no one's allowed to come in and step on their area, their turf. Now you throw in vegans, and veganism, I guess, is getting a little bit of a lift right now in France. So butchers don't like it. But this war was actually started by the vegans because they've been vandalizing a lot of butcher shops with, you know, just blood and things, slogans like animals aren't ingredients. which I find interesting because you can't find many animals who agree with that. If you look at animals, they seem to think of every other animal as an ingredient. So I don't know why we're supposed to.
Yeah, the only ingredient.
Yeah, there's all they
They're
do.
Not like putting salt and pepper on a deer carcass.
No, no, it's just
the
straight
only
up.
Ingredient.
They just they murder and eat. That's how they get it done. Yeah, all the animals.
You won't find a lion sauteing a gazelle. Yeah.
Why are we supposed to be, as human beings, so much of we're animals too. So what? Animals eating animals is kind of everything that happens. But they've started this war, and now they were going to have this big vegan festival, and they caught word that the butchers were going to do something terrible. Now, according to the butchers, all they were going to do was just have an an opposing festival.
The guy who runs the head of the Butchers Federation, Laurent Rigaud, he said we're ready to organize a big barbecue, along with hunters, farmers, and restaurateurs. Oh,
no!
They're just going to cook out.
Yeah, it's a subversive, violent response.
It's terrible. It's very offensive. I don't like it. It offends me very much.
I get the idea that you don't like eating meat, right? But if you really believe the slogan, animals are not ingredients, you actually have an argument with every animal of all time. Real quick, what's your tweet about Mexico?
A big deal. Looking good with Mexico.
I'm watching this monitor. I don't have any sound, but it looks to me as if he's in the Oval Office and he's talking to somebody on the speakerphone.
Hello, Mexican president.
Anyway.
What do you think?
Hey, we're 8 days away from Georgia football. Remember, every game is on WSB right here, your home of the Dogs. We're going to go over to our Podcast 30. You can join us on the Von Hessler Doctrine official Facebook page if you want to watch us do that live. Herman Cain's daily Pure Cain Perspective is next. That'll be followed by the expanded Noon News with Chris Camp and Sabrina Cupid. I had so much fun today, I'm going to come back and do it tomorrow starting at 9. You're all invited. That's right. It's the Podcast 30. Can we get to the drop already? Thank you. This music is terrible.
I thought we'd get one day without it if he's not here.
Well, he put it together before he left.
Yeah, guys.
It sounded like that guy said, Von Hessler, close
your
eyes.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah. You know, I felt I was being unfair because Jared loves EDM. And I really hadn't listened to much of it. And I just hated it because I was old. And so I decided, let's let him have his little place on the show where he can feature his EDM. And I didn't know it was that bad.
Oh.
I didn't know it was... But I mean, there's not even enough of that. There's really a lot of just sort of... I talk about it too much, I know. So
we don't come here to hear about that.
Go ahead.
If you come here, you're going to get what you get. You understand?
Okay.
That's the way it is.
I hear you.
Okay. All right.
I'm trying to do different voices instead of just doing the southern one.
I like that.
What part of the country is that?
I don't have to I don't know.
That guy's from Trump country.
That's right. I'm from Iowa.
Sounds like a voice for an animated character on some Disney movie or something.
It is.
Yeah. It's that fake laugh from middle school again.
Why did you have that fake laugh?
I don't know. Whether it was a nerd.
Did it work? I mean, did you get friends because of it? Were you popular?
No, it's just something I did. I wasn't worried what people thought, really.
No, it's when you're being silly when you're little. You just
And when you were little, were you in those English knee pants going to school?
We were in short pants for a long time. Because she said that we'd always wear through the knees of the long trousers.
Sure.
So we had
that was their excuse. They didn't want to tell you we can't afford.
So short trousers, right?
The headmaster locks you in the shorts.
Yeah, see your knees. Short trousers for a long time and all weathers. I'm talking, you know, cold winters. That made us hardy.
Over there, they say, I've known him since he was in knee pants.
I've known
short
him.
Pants.
Yeah,
short pants.
Short pants, right?
Yeah. So that's English Nick. Autumn Fisher is here.
Yep.
Greg Russ.
Hello.
Is present.
I'm here. I'm eating a white chocolate Snickers to drown my sorrows.
Okay, well, hold on. I want to hear more about that.
Sorrowful Greg.
If you're watching on Facebook, that's Jesse over there.
What's up, guys? Hey, Greg, do you have your camera on?
I hope not. If he does
it. Yeah, I want to see that Snickers.
I'm sorry. There was a computer that died on me, and I scrambled.
It's all right. Yeah, it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do you any good to scramble if you're just going to show up and complain about scrambling.
Well, I'd just be like, it's piling on. You got your camera on. I did everything I could. I lit the candle.
No one's piling on. Everything's cool.
Pylon!
I just read the real nice text you sent me after you heard about Curveball being canceled. It was very nice of you.
Well, that's nice of you guys to have a conversation about something that happened 14 days ago.
A week and a half.
Get over it.
No.
But you're just seeing that text?
I replied to you. I was telling Eric how nice I thought it was.
You guys are fighting already.
I saw Monica Kaufman out in the...
One second. Alan, can you hear me?
She was mad.
Can Alan hear me? Alan cannot hear me. I think Greg needs to come up a little bit.
Yeah, he's real quiet.
Can you go tell him
he needs to come up?
Yeah, he needs to come up, and so that's for sure. Now,
I'm not turning the camera on today.
Oh, no, wait. Now he sounds fine. Were you away from the microphone or something?
No, I adjusted it myself.
Okay, but you're good.
We're good now.
You're good.
Okay, all set.
All set.
Sorry, Jesse.
You're refusing to turn on your camera, however.
You don't want to talk about it. Just
no, I know. Well, you're worried that maybe it'll eat up some bandwidth, and I understand.
Yeah, because
that.
Now I don't have it has to be Wi-Fi now because it's a laptop, so no one gets to see my face, which is not a bad thing.
Why does it have to be Wi-Fi if it's a laptop?
Because his plug-in is too far away.
No, it doesn't have a port.
Oh, got one of those. He's got one of those fancy new computers.
Oh, that's a great computer that doesn't have a port that you need.
We want you to buy other things.
Who is she all of a sudden? Kim Commando? She knows all about...
She's right.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate the new iPhone that doesn't have the right port.
But you got the dongle.
I've got it.
No, I need to charge and listen to something at the same time. And the only reason why they did that is because they only wanted you to be able to use Apple Pay instead of the chip thing.
100%.
Which is so annoying and stupid.
I'm going to switch to Verizon or something, and I'm going to get a different thing. I'll tell you what this is. This is capitalism. This is what Eric loves. This is the free market.
Yeah,
this is
you will walk.
You down paths
I am
what,
and I'm choosing.
You choose to walk.
I haven't yet because I'm in a 2-year payoff plan for this stupid thing.
Well, I always buy the phone outright, so you can always.
We're not money bags like you.
What's that?
We're not all money bags like you.
I like that class warfare. Please bring more of it. I actually, most people don't like it, but I like it.
You know what I'd rather do?
It reminds me that I have more money than you. That makes me feel good.
I'd rather lease it for 2 years, spending $100 a month, paying three times as much than you would if you bought the phone.
Well, I think the real problem is you don't want to get, and I'm no Clark Howard, but I will tell you this from experience.
Oh, you're no Clark Howard.
You want to do as little as possible on any plan with any of these big companies.
Sure.
Because they're like banks. They nickel, it's not even nickel and diming, but they start hitting you with things. And I don't even like looking at bills. And then 6 months later, I'm like, what? I'm paying what?
I know.
You have no idea. So what you want to do is give them less entry points by signing up for the least amount think possible. You can't do it without one of these carriers, but you want their mission, as far as you're concerned, to be unbelievably limited. I just get the phone cell distribution service from you. That's all. And once you start adding in a plan, any kind of plan, then what's going to happen is it's going to end up costing twice as much as they've led you to believe.
But if you don't have the cash on hand, then what do you do?
Well, you save up until you can afford a phone.
Save up.
Get out of here.
That's
so un-American.
Haven't you seen the Folgers commercial? The kid learned when he was a kid, if he wanted a new baseball mitt, he had to save up with the Folgers can. And then as he grew up, first it was a mitt, then it was a bicycle.
You know what happens now? He buys that Folgers can with credit, and then all the money he puts into the Folgers can goes to paying the interest on that credit.
Yep.
So he never actually gets the baseball glove in the end.
Well, that's the problem.
I like the entitled white girl who quits her job and then goes buy an expensive Cadillac.
That commercial.
Yeah.
First of all, there appears to be
my freedom.
It's an Audi, by the way.
Okay, whatever.
That commercial, there appears to be two or three different versions of it, and different things are going on. I'm very confused. In one version, she gets employee of the month, but then she goes back to her desk. Is she just thinking that? Is she fantasizing?
Oh.
And then she decides, okay, I'm leaving here. One of them says, go to my dream job on her thing. And then another one, it says, start my dream job. No matter what it is. And then one of them, somebody else is getting employee of the month, and he's making a joke about golfing too much.
It's a cereal, and at the end, what you find out, she's in a padded room, and she's in.
Yeah. It turns out this is all happening inside in her mind.
What's this commercial for?
It's for Audi. But she, so she, the whole, it doesn't matter about all the lead up. In the end, the advice is, if you don't like where you work, don't give 2 weeks. Just get up and leave. Put your stuff in a box. And when you quit your job, immediately walk to an Audi dealership and buy the most expensive car in the lot and drive away.
Yeah, so while it still shows that your income is still high.
Well, because you have the expensive car payment at that point, it would inspire you to get a much better job.
I should think. Right. But it's weird. There's like two or three different versions of this commercial.
Okay, but don't you think that even... Okay, let's say that she got Employee of the Month and it was real. It's kind of saying you can be really good at your job, but still not be in your dream job. So quit your job and go get that car and drive it to California while you're working a hemp shop or something.
Yeah. No. That's
or the
my
other
dream
way
job.
Is like somebody else gets the Employee of the Month and you realize how unhappy you really are. So you go buy that car and you go drive to California and you become a owner of a hemp shop. See, I said the same joke.
Yeah, or you fail and go into porn. I mean, one of the
if other.
If you
want
to
in
California.
Or you can just wait on tables the rest of your life.
Either way.
I would take that Audi, and I would drive it to California and drive it off a cliff into the ocean.
You're a real... Are you?
Somebody's having a rough day.
Greg is like Thelma and Louise all mixed together. And now he sounds low again to me, so I don't know what to... I don't know.
You know, either way, if you decide to start your own hemp shop or go into porn, you can award yourself Employee of the Month.
Ah.
You don't have to wait for somebody else to do it.
Well, it's obvious that they're disrespecting her at this place by giving her Employee of the Month. But I don't know. It's like a movie thing that they don't show you enough.
No, it's about empowering yourself, right?
Yeah, I know. But, I love – and they have
going into debt is the best way to empower
yourself. Well, if you look at their slogan, they've millennialed it out. First of all, tell a millennial girl that she's empowered and she's eaten out of your hands, right?
Yeah.
Their slogan is something like progress is in the pursuit. I mean, isn't that a great one? It's like just the progress is just come spend money. That's the progress. Progress is in the pursuit.
They need to do that with other things. Sardines, not just for straight people.
Oh my God.
Empower your body with sardines.
Oh, I love them.
They're natural.
The moral.
We gotta get that word.
Sardines in that can is a whole food.
Look at those two buzzwords. Look at those two buzzwords, both starting with P for millennials. Progress and pursuit. Right. We shoved them into one slogan.
And what does that mean? That means that if you pursue something, then you progress at it. Instead of like progress, I mean, practice makes progress or
you can pursue and
you can see why she doesn't work in a marketing agency.
No, I'm saying it's not
like just whatever.
It doesn't work.
You can pursue you can pursue and progress at the same time. Like,
yes,
as you're pursuing your dream, you can make progress in your career or whatever you're doing.
But that takes a different thing. Progress takes a different thing than just pursuing.
Right. What it's saying, it was saying is that the end goal doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just the fact that you have the idea and
or
you start
just having the idea is progress.
The pursuit of happiness, right?
Exactly. So go spend a bunch of money
that
you don't
have. Sweat. Like, what did they say about like your hand? Get your hands dirty.
Sweat equity. Yeah.
Sweat equity. Yeah. Put your back into it.
You don't have to do that anymore.
What is it they say?
Come on, Autumn. Are you just spitting out words,
which
or do you have
slogans?
Hold on. Are you spitting out words, or are you just intended to make a point?
No. I'm saying, think about all these phrases. We don't say these phrases anymore. They're not part of like our normal.
Well, maybe you don't.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Exactly. We're not talking about that in commercials unless it's for like a truck that climbs rocks or something.
Hey, you need a truck?
Every truck climbs rocks.
And that's for a specific type of person. They're typically dudes, right? So anyway,
of course,
what I'm saying is
the people who built the world.
These types of slogans and phrases are not being used because things like this are making sense to people. Progress is in the pursuit.
It's not making sense. It's just buzzwords that are thrown out there, which is why Autumn would be perfect at marketing, because it doesn't need to make sense. Whatever she said was BS. There's nothing behind it. It's empty, and people like the sound of it, and they say, yeah, that's right.
Are you going after Autumn now?
No.
I feel as if you're going after Autumn.
What I I was saying.
Hold on, Autumn. You're not having a stroke right now or anything, are you?
I guess I'm still. I don't know. Maybe my brain is still a little disconnected.
I feel like you've gotten through that sickness you had last week. So
I feel
yeah,
better, but I guess better. My brain is still like
still a little foggy.
I'm excited to be here.
I tried to get Autumn to tell me if her husband had seen that story of the girl that got the internship at NASA and then promptly lost it because she was swearing on Twitter. You saw that,
right?
I did, yeah. But I thought then he
got it back for her, right?
He did, but he got harangued so much by furries that he had to quit social media and deactivate his blog.
Furries?
Yes.
The people who dress up like furry mascot animals. Animals.
Yeah, she was a furry.
And have sex.
Yeah, that girl.
Oh. And they didn't like the... So why are the furries angry?
Oh, they're always angry.
Because...
They're secretly have a very deep underlying anger.
Because they thought that old man was mansplaining her or shaming her and blah, 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 blah.
By do helping her.
Yeah.
By helping her get the internship back.
Language.
So what are you supposed to do in this situation?
I don't know.
So she curses. I don't even understand. So why is the cursing a bad thing? Why did that cause her to lose the internship?
No, what happened was, you tell us, what were the two, how did it start?
She wrote, well, she used a lot of expletives, said in her first tweet, well, blah, 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 I just got a job at NASA. And
a lot of expletives.
A lot of expletives. And then that guy, I forget his name, he wrote language. And she wrote, S my D, I'm working for NASA.
And then he wrote,
well,
I am in charge of the research something or other, which oversees NASA.
Yeah.
And that was it. Clap back. And then she lost her internship and then got it back.
And then
who helped her get it back?
He did.
So the same guy.
They had a private conversation.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Where he was saying, look, you know, you're representing NASA. Now is the time if you're going to accept this, you need to grow up and realize that this organization has standards and rules. And I think they reached an agreement. But meanwhile, while that was going on, you know, all the furries that are friends with her started attacking him. And he had to deactivate his Twitter.
But something about the furries and the bronies. They're weird. Very angry.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, you'd think people who dress up...
Well, it's like a mask, right? Like a mask of friendship and happiness, and we're just being furry, fun animals, and we're playing, except actually underneath there's a lot of anger.
So furries, if I understand this, they like to dress up in big furry mascot outfits and have sex.
And get it on, yeah.
That's just part of it.
Okay, I'm not
you
saying
know
that's
what I'm realizing?
Thing. Right.
In the state of this world, quite often I think that
there
I'm...
We go.
Well, no, quite often I think I'm the weirdo, or I think that I'm angry, but I realize that I'm not. I'm really just kind of a normal person. When you look at the behavior of all these other people out there, there's so much anger and
you're just
rage.
Not wearing the mask.
And yeah.
It makes me feel better, is what I'm saying.
No, you should, but Autumn...
At first, but then it makes me feel worse because this is actually the world we live in.
Well, Autumn, you make a good point there. Because the mask for a lot of these people, even like, you know, these people who claim to want peace all the time...
Right.
Are screaming
give
and
me peace
hollering.
Or I'll burn it to the ground.
Yeah. I mean, just constantly. And their mask is, we want peace and love. And this president is vulgar. So he needs to get the F out of there.
Right.
And they start becoming even more vulgar than he is. And so in reality, I think that Greg is just an unmasked person.
Well,
and
I think
so I know where you stand. You think the world is a big bowl of S. But you don't pretend that you don't see it that way.
Well, I think that there's people who wear masks and they wear them well, and there's people who don't know how to wear the mask. And that's it. You can divide the world up into those two types of people. And seemingly most people know how to wear a mask and they go about it pretty well. And I'm this kind of person misrepresenting themselves. And then,
yeah, I do.
Ooh, and then some people just wear the mask, and that's just kind of like quote-unquote normal, like in a certain spectrum. And then there are people who decorate the mask, right?
Uh-huh.
And put lots of plumes and feathers. And like,
look at me.
Right, and that includes virtue signaling. Yeah. That includes, like, my relationship is healthy, and we've loved each other forever, and blah, 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 you know, and that's
no, this
really
is what happens. This is what happens when capitalism gets a hold of the mask, and they market it, and they sell it. So see, Autumn is a great marketer. She's taken the psychological mask, and she's added flair to it. Now she's selling it.
If
you want this streamer for the mask, it's an extra $50.
If you want
these glowing eyes for your mask, it's an extra $150.
I wear my mask well, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think I come off as a guy who is pretty optimistic.
You seem to like everybody.
I'm friendly.
Yeah.
I'm friendly. And the truth is, if you pull back that mask,
dark.
I'm very negative. I don't think there's any hope. And I've never really met anyone that I actually liked.
Well, we have all known that about you forever.
I mean, talk to
us. Anybody that asks us, like, oh, you know, what's Eric really like? Like, oh, you don't want to. You don't want to know.
Dark.
Keep it this way. You want to keep the. You know, just don't. You don't want to know. You don't.
In fact, if you're going to hang out with Eric, bring your mask in case his mask falls off.
Yeah, you need two masks.
Yeah,
unlike the ugly girl. Remember that whole thing?
His wife has a mask in her pocket for him all the
time. She's a beard.
Yes.
Well, I'm not talking about that mask. Oh, that was just some personality.
Oh.
There's no need to go exposing, right?
Yeah.
No. You guys were just.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You weren't talking about.
Hey, come on. Remember when the interns were saying farewell here in the last few months and they got their question time with you, you said the only question they couldn't ask you was.
My sexuality.
There you are.
I'm not ready to face that.
No.
I'm not. That's a mask.
That's the mask under the mask.
Well, it's a secondary mask.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about now.
No, do I?
We're talking about mask on top of
mask. Wrapped inside of a mask, wrapped inside of a mask.
It's a mask eating its own mask.
That's why Jim Carrey was so successful to begin with, because he actually was in a movie called The Mask.
Well, think about Jim Carrey.
Now I wish he put that mask back on.
Exactly.
Because I want to like that guy, and he's so unlikable.
Because he took off his mask.
Right.
And revealed he's nuts.
Yes.
So what are you saying? You're saying we should keep our mask on. I don't want to know. Can I tell you something? I know this is what makes me different than a lot of people. If I'm somewhere and let's say a bunch of people have to sleep in the same room or whatever, this has not happened in years, but if somebody starts talking in their sleep, I will leave.
You don't want any secrets.
I don't want to know.
I want to hear
the secrets that they keep.
when they're talking in their sleep.
Yeah.
No. I want to just face value whatever you're projecting out at me. I just want to buy into that. I just want to know that, and I don't want to know anything else. And it also sounds like the dead are speaking.
Isn't it gibberish? People don't really reveal things.
I guess probably not, but it sounds
Ellie
eerie.
Ellie was talking in her sleep the other night.
Well, I hope she doesn't have many secrets.
Mommy so much.
She's only 3 and a half.
She was like, come with me. She was like reaching, come with me. And then she was saying that she didn't want to, she was kind of awake, but kind of still asleep. And she was like pointing behind me, and I was so scared.
There was a ghost.
No, it's eerie. I get freaked out.
It's so scary.
I get freaked.
To me, what's wrong? What's wrong? She's like, I can't sleep. And she was pointing behind me. I was like, what?
It's like somebody else is in the room, not the actual person.
To me, it's like.
And then I turned around, and a ghost flew at my face, and then he opened his mouth really big, and it went through my body.
We're not friends anymore. We're done, Autumn.
Yep. She believes in ghosts now.
That's it. That's all it takes.
The
years of building, you know, trust and getting close to one another. Nope, it's over. I don't care. You just said you believe in ghosts.
You have no friends.
I didn't say I believe in ghosts. I was just scared of ghosts.
Wait a minute.
Ghost?
Greg.
It could have been the owner of the fairgrounds down the street.
In your house for no reason. Hey, what's up?
It was old man Wilson.
You got some kids, do you? Put me in the mind of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
It's always like the old guy.
Old man Wilson down the street.
Yeah, he's trying to save the...
For you,
is it a ghost
kids?
Or is it old man Wilson? I don't know. I'm going to turn around and see.
It's the ghost of old man Wilson here for you. Hey, all right. Get the kids. Go back to sleep.
I've lost complete control of this
Ruby,
show.
Ruby,
you know,
Ruby,
I do want to... This is the last thing I want to say about the mask. I think that people should wear the mask, but it should not be... fixed to your face that you can't take it off.
Wonder if you can't take it off
when you're riding your bicycles across Europe.
Your mask. You should be able to.
You shouldn't not. What did she say? She said you shouldn't not be able
no,
to
I said,
take
you should
off
be your, able to take it off. Yeah. As in, it shouldn't be who you are all the time.
It shouldn't be fixed to your face. Like, it shouldn't be stuck to your face that you can't remove it.
You know who's really annoying are people who have no mask and, everything is just, hey, this is just me. I just say it. I just say whatever's on my mind.
Oh, you can't handle me because I just tell you the truth.
No, I can handle you. I just don't want to be around you.
I know you fat?
You fat.
You don't like
what,
the truth.
What, you want me to lie? You fat.
You don't like the truth. I'm just brutally honest. People who say that. Yeah. I'm brutally honest.
Well, I've talked about this
brutally
before.
Brutally honest. You fair.
The people who say,
fair.
My job is to tell you the baby's
ugly.
Ugly.
Yeah.
When is that ever a good idea? When is that
See,
ever a good idea?
Mouth.
Well, for
Put
10 years, I worked at the Ugly Baby Foundation, and it was my job to go door to door and tell the people an ugly baby.
Let's say you walk into
you got
the
an
hospital.
Ugly baby.
Who? Why is it upon anybody to point to the baby and tell the father, oh, that's a pretty ugly baby?
Ugly.
What is the
Your
positive?
Side of the family, Pop?
You have to be a good citizen and speak quietly to a loved one about how ugly the baby is.
And I got news for you,
no
though.
One else can hear.
You know, the truth is, quite often, the ugliest babies end up being the best-looking people, adults.
Yeah, that's something my neighbor said.
Maybe you should drop it off at the fire department.
Well, my neighbor said that to me.
It's true.
The Queen of Zoffyville said this to me once. You know, babies that are ugly when they're kids, they tend to be more beautiful adults. So I don't know what's going to happen with Ellie.
Yeah, because she was a beautiful kid.
I was like,
kid.
Cool, thanks. Thanks so much. What do you yeah. think?
Well, the truth is quite often beautiful children end up being beautiful adults too. But
sure.
See,
he's the kind of person, now that we have some distance, I like him a lot. But yeah. when we were living that close together, he was a real pain in the butt. Like he would say stuff like, I'm just honest.
Yeah, one of those yeah, guys. He, annoying guys. No, it's just
I was barely pregnant. He was like, wow, you're showing. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm
fatty.
4 weeks pregnant.
It's not that it happens more often. It's just that when an ugly baby it becomes a good-looking adult, it's more noticeable and people talk about it.
Yeah.
The beautiful kid turns into a beautiful adult. Then everybody expected it.
I think
but
you had
like,
a, you
wow,
had a...
that kid looked like it was from another planet. Now she's hot.
Oldham, I think you had a great relationship with the mayor of Zoffyville because he was comfortable to tell you everything on his mind.
That wasn't the mayor.
Oh,
the
queen.
The queen. My bad. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, our gay friend.
Mayor Queen.
In Zoffyville.
This Autumn was just jealous because she wants to be a gay man.
I know she does.
She wants to be a sassy gay.
I want to dominate strangers that I met on Scruff.
Oh, boy. Oh, this is that friend.
Scruff.
Yeah.
Scruff.
Scruff.
That's a real thing. It's
like,
an app.
Take you by the scruff of the neck kind
yeah,
of thing.
It's like, scruff. I want the scruff of your face on my scruff. Chest.
Sounds like know? A dog petting service.
Well, and people,
how many people
like,
on this show
dudes...
today?
Hold on. What? Sorry. Yes?
How many people on the show today have done cocaine? That's all I want to know.
Are you saying we're speaking very fast and over each other?
It's just all
Eric's
over
on the monster
place.
Drink. He's
I thought you meant
drink.
General.
I think that I've been.
I just mean today before the show.
Not today.
And then I take a bump. Let's get going. Rev these engines. Got a 30-minute podcast to do. Got to knock it out.
Because I've been sick. I haven't had as much coffee. And today was the first day that I've had a full cup of coffee. So that might be why my foot's on the gas.
No, that is true. Autumn was speaking all over me. But I just backed off and allowed it to happen.
I think it's because Jared's not here to keep the pace up together. You know what I'm saying?
If there's one thing that I would like to change about the show is that everybody would feel so comfortable that they were going to have their moment to speak that they would just let the other people stop end their sentence before starting. But this has been a battle I've been fighting for.
Yeah, but Autumn and
years.
I think we're funnier than everybody else, so we have that battle. And then we battle each other.
Yep.
It's just a big battle.
And then Greg just sits back
and then
and
we
pouts.
Text each other.
See, there's no pouting. I look at it this way. It's like, yeah, they're missing out. They don't want what's in his brain.
He's a chirper
it's
now.
Fine.
I did want to ask you if there was anything that happened that brought on this mood, or is it just that time of the month? It's a full moon, so it's a possibility.
I don't know. The mood probably was there, and it was triggered by this computer. Just dead. You're talking about the phones, you know, dying, and then the way Apple screws you over. I cleaned the computer, the desktop, put in the new operating system. It was running fine, and I think it was sent a signal back to Apple headquarters that, uh-oh, he took that old computer and made it work again. Like, kill it. Kill it. And then they sent some kind of signal down the line, and it died.
Sort of an
That's
electro
what happened
pulse.
To my computer.
Oh, maybe it's our competitors. Maybe they're coming after the computers of those who don't work in the studio.
Yeah, he looks like he'd be able to do that. Speaking of Apple, did you see that Steve Jobs' daughter wrote a book where he wasn't very nice?
Well,
I read the article that was leading up to the book, took excerpts from it. Yeah, he did seem like a jerk. If you read that, he seemed like a real... He denied that she was his daughter for a very long time, and then he made the first computer, the Lisa, right?
Yeah, he named it after her. Come on.
But then no, and then she asked him, did you name that after me? And for the longest time, he said no. He's like, no, I didn't. I didn't name that after you. It has nothing to do with you. Until Bono, of all people, asked him at a dinner or a lunch when Lisa was there. Like, this who you named the computer after? And he begrudgingly said, oh, yeah, it was.
Okay, if I know Steve Jobs, and of course I do, I think that he didn't want his daughter to get a big head thinking that a computer was named after her and that she was special because he wanted his children to be their own people.
Sure, then why did he name the computer after her? There's also...
The time that he named the computer after her was during that period that he was saying she wasn't his and was being an absent father, I think.
Well, there's
so wouldn't
this
that
other
be
thing.
Enough to not give her a big head? Why did he have to also then say, no, I didn't name this after
all him? I know there's, is he invented the smartphone. What?
He just doesn't seem to have any... I don't know how he was with his other kids, but another part of this article was the rumor went around he was so rich, anytime his Porsche got a scratch on it, he would get a new one and discard the one he had, which, you know, is a lie.
Yeah.
But she was a kid, and she thought this was true, because as kids you believe ridiculous things, and she asked him, can I have it? Meaning when you get a scratch on this one, can I have it? He's like, you'll get nothing. You'll never get a thing from me. He's like, all right, come on. It's like a child.
Yes.
You don't have to be such a jerk.
But he was a jerk with it. He did not have good people skills.
Her stepmother said, we're not nice people.
I think he was beginning to mellow with age, but that process was not allowed to happen. He died when he was 56 years old.
The important time in kids' lives is in the very beginning.
Look.
And so to mellow,
I can tell you about Steve Jobs is there's a documentary that I saw. There's a guy who was there in the beginning, and he goes on and on about how basically Steve Jobs destroyed his life. They were working 90-hour weeks. He started having trouble at home. Jobs was like, the work or the home, get rid of one or the other. He lost his family, everything. And then at the end of it, he's in tears talking about how lucky he was to be around this man, this person who had such power. I mean, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. And the reason that Steve Jobs was able to do what he did was he convinced other people to follow him for this end. And in the beginning, they were working 90-hour weeks, and they weren't Apple yet. They weren't millionaires and billionaires. They were just people.
There was no guarantee that this would pay off.
No guarantee whatsoever. And so, and also, up to his death, I think that Steve Jobs, for the most part, lived in a subdivision. I don't think Steve Jobs and his family lived in a mansion or a mini mansion. I think they lived in a subdivision not too far from Apple in the Cupertino area. And it was like, you know, it's like a middle class, maybe upper middle class, but type of neighborhood. So he always had this thing about not showing wealth. And I can see where he would be too much with his kids about it. But he was too much with everybody. He was too much for the world. The world couldn't even take him for more than 56 years.
Then why
so,
did he have a kid?
Well, because it was. I don't think he wanted to have that kid. He had other kids. Like I say, he denied that was his kid for a while.
Right.
He was not a good
was
person.
Was that also something to do with the woman who bore the child, though? Because they weren't they not together?
They were not together. You got to remember this guy, you know, he was abandoned. The unlikely thing for this guy was that he ended up... adopted by people who happened to be in Silicon Valley. His father was a Syrian immigrant. His real father.
There was a thing
father.
With him, though.
What?
With him, before he took the company public, there was an ongoing child support battle going with, his ex and his daughter, this Lisa. And his lawyer's like, settle it now. And then they settle it for like $500 a month or something, maybe $500 a week. And then like the next day he went public and became one of the richest people in the world, which is a pretty crappy thing to do also.
There are a lot of stories.
Let's get this out of the way before you make all your money.
There are a lot of stories about Steve Jobs not being a very nice person, but he was a visionary. You can find a Nightline. Is that the one that was about the hostages and then turned into the Ted?
Yep.
There's one from like 1980. And you listen to Steve Jobs predict the future in 1980, and he gets it slam dunk like he knew exactly what was going on. So he was brilliant, not that nice. I wouldn't want to be his kid. But I love this iPhone 10.
Do you love it?
And I love being stuck inside of this walled garden.
Thank you, Steve.
I got the music says I have to end this show.
I didn't hear
I couldn't hear the music.
We will follow up in future episodes. Until then, get off my lawn.